Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and today on Hercules and the Space Gods, I'm proud to bring you the sixth revelation hosted by Michael and Diane Duncan. Greetings and welcome, Michael and Diane. How are you?
Oh, hi there, Hercules. Greetings. Thank you so much for having us here on the Sixth Revelation program. Thank you so much for allowing us to contribute what we have to contribute with the Sixth Revelation.
Oh, yes.
My pleasure.
Agree. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Hercules, and we're going to hear Alex a little bit later, so if you'd like to have a little conversation with him, we'd really, really appreciate that.
That would be awesome.
And that'll be after Nick, and Alex was going to talk about some of the supernatural things that he's into, supernatural occurrences, and especially tonight he's going to talk about supernatural things, amulets.
Oh, wow.
Swords and things of that nature. Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, we have a wonderful, all of our wonderful friends are here tonight. We are the sixth revelation. Our basis is the fifth revelation, the Urantia book, published in 1955. Diane and I are both interfaith ministers, and we've studied many, many spiritual traditions and religions. But lately, our path has brought us to the fifth epical revelation, the Urantia book. As I said, published in 1955, we feel it gives our sixth revelation work a really good basis, a really good framework, a structure, a hierarchical structure of the gods who are doing what they're doing today. They're assisting us, they're helping us, and especially during these turbulent times, they're teaching us how to live in this new way. And this new way will bring us to this age of Aquarius we're talking about in 2023 beginning, and then on to the age of Pisces, the age of light and life in 2043. So we're very happy to be sharing all of our knowledge and all of the celestial knowledge of what they're doing at this time. And to help us do that, we have some wonderful friends who are involved in their own wonderful ministries, doing their own wonderful work, spreading love and joy throughout the world as well. And that would be our wonderful friend Nick Curto and our wonderful friend Gerald T. Farley. And, of course, Alex is going to be on the program in his own ministry, the way he expresses his work with the gods.
Yes, and Alex is 16 now, so we're kind of excited.
Wow.
He's growing into a very, very intelligent young man.
And we're of course, happy to hear from Hercules and all of his all of the wonderful things he has to offer tonight. So, I did say Gerald, you betcha. Oh, absolutely. I wouldn't forget Gerald, of course. All right. So we have our wonderful friend Nick is going to talk about love. And, of course, I wanted to mention, too, that not only Diane and myself have as our frame of reference the Urantia book, but also Nick Curto is a past president of Urantia Book Greater New York. And Gerald is a longtime reader, student, and leader in the Urantia Book movement, and also a board member of the teaching mission of the Urantia Book. All right, so Nick, tell us, please, give us your thoughts on love.
Well, thank you very much for having me on your program, Michael and Diane. It's always a pleasure, and I certainly look forward to the times that I have been on your program, and this is no exception. And the whole idea of love, especially coming very close to Valentine's Day on the 14th, wow, so it's perfect. It's a perfect time to talk about love. And, you know, I have to say that when I first found the Urantia book, or it found me, about 35 years ago, and I've been reading it ever since, I was absolutely struck by the amount of love in every single page of that book. Oh my goodness, it was not fire and brimstone and a God you have to fear. If anything, it was exactly the opposite. It was the fact that the Universal Father, God, whatever you'd like to call it, sends limitless love to every one of his creatures on all the various planets and galaxies. That's incredible. And do I believe that? Yes, I do, very much so. And everyone responds to love. I think that we look for it, we want it in our lives, and we treasure it. We treasure it when love finds us. And that can be some of the highest points of a human being on this planet, is experiencing love. Some of us have been fortunate to have parents who have given us unconditional love. And if you've been blessed with that sort of a situation, you are indeed blessed deeply. I know people, unfortunately, who had not had that experience. For various reasons, they did not have the unlimitless love of their parents, their earth parents. And I think that it takes a great deal to get them to understand that love can still be out there, and to seek it and to hopefully find it in their own lives. It is quite a challenge when you don't have that basis. I have to say that my mother and father, Nick and Peg, were given my sister Peggy and myself truly limitless love. And I felt that always. I certainly feel this right now. They both passed, and I feel that love continues. So there you go. I feel very blessed, and of course also blessed to have you as friends too, because you've shown a limitless love to me, and I respond to that, as you know, unconditional love back. And so there you go. I have a couple of quotes, Michael and Diane, from the Urantia book that touch on the subject of love. Do you want me to read them?
Okay. Yes, please do. Oh, I just wanted to say one thing before you read.
Oh, sure, sure.
That, boy, you know, one of the main, very, very important things that the Urantia book tries to drive home is the importance of the family, too. You know, when you were talking about the love of your parents, that family unit, the cornerstone of civilization, is so, so important. And I think it's through that, like you say, that the children really feel the love. And with love, you can do so much. You can reach really high heights. So that kind of struck me reminded me of that the family unit is so important. And, of course, we have the celestial family with our father and mother loving us, too. So thank you for that, Nick. And, hey, let's hear what you have to say, what the Urantia book has to say about love.
Okay, I have. I know there's a limited time here, so I'll just read a couple of them. One of them is the myriads of planetary systems were all made to be eventually inhabited by many different types of intelligent creatures, beings who could know God, receive divine affection, and love Him in return. Now, that is very powerful stuff there, to examine that and say that limitless love is given to us by the Universe Father, and that the fact that we reflect that back through our lives as we live day to day, and try to, in some cases, reflect Jesus' love through our own lives each and every day. We show it in various ways. I love that quote. Here's another. Mortal man cannot possibly know the infinitude of Heavenly Father. Infinite mind cannot think through such an absolute truth or fact. But this same infinite human being can actually feel, literally experience, the full and undiminished impact of such an infinite Father's love. So it's limitless. It's forever. and it never stops. Another short one that's kind of is
you go ahead. If you have another couple, you go ahead. We're just sitting here enjoying it.
Okay, well, thank you. Here's another quick one, but I love this one. Love is the desire to do good to others. So simple and yet powerful. Love, loyalty derived from the realization of human brotherhood. Brotherhood. And I would term that brotherhood and, of course, sisterhood. And when you have a connection with other people on that level, there's nothing better than that, ever. That is the richest thing you can have. And people might have a lot of money and a lot of power, but if they don't have real love in their life, they've missed quite a bit.
Well, please, do you have another one? We're just enjoying this so much.
Okay. You cannot truly love your fellows by a mere act of the will. Love is only born of through going understanding of your neighbor's motives and sentiments. It is not so important to love all men today as it is that each day you learn to love one more human being. So that's also, I think, quite telling, that if you can somehow in your life find an opening to share a love, a trust with another human being each day, how rich is your life? I love that too. That's just inspiring, absolutely inspiring. The religionist has faith in a God of love. Love is the essence of religion and the wellspring of superior civilization. Wow. So here we are again, that hopefully the others, and we will be finding, I am sure, and I feel very soon, other civilizations on other planets. And that just blows you away. That's such an incredible concept. And how they choose to love each other, how they choose to love God, if they do worship a God, and what's that like? I mean, how amazing that kind of knowledge is. Do they have music? And Michael, here we go. Do they have music that celebrates the love of God, like we do here, like you write in your songs, expressing love to the Universal Father and to your fellow man? Do they do that? And what does their music sound like? Anyhow, those are some ideas I had.
Yeah, it would be interesting. It would be interesting to see how, to experience, the other types of music. That reminds me of one of the more modern Star Wars movies, where they're sitting up in the balcony and they have like these bubbles, these colorful bubbles that are moving around, and there's like a subtle music, I'm sure there are so many different expressions, but what really struck me, Nick, is when you talked about, the love of the Father reaching to people on other planets. His love must be so vast and so big that each person can have a personal loving relationship with him. I just find that just absolutely incredible.
Wow.
And,
me too. Absolutely too. It focuses you so intensely on what's really valuable, what is really worth it, how your time should be spent. We all have limited time on this planet. How do we spend it to the best possible way? And certainly the word love has got to be way at the top of that list.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. If you're gonna spend your time and energy, why not be spending it and sharing it from the framework of love? I think, and of course we hear about, you give what you get, or you get what you give. When you pour out that love and your whole life is coming from a framework of love, you're receiving love too. And it's just, it makes you healthier, it makes you happier, it makes your life richer. Especially like when you say, sharing it with someone intimate that you love, someone that is in your life that you love really, really dearly and spend a lot of time with. And of course that love for that person or with that person spills out to the greater community and to the world. So that's that love is the basis. You got it.
Absolutely. And, you know, in my life I've come across some people, I have to say, it pains me to say this, but who really have never felt in their personal life love. And you can pick that up almost instantly, even just being near them. And when you see them living their lives, and there's an emptiness and a sadness, and it pains me to see that. And I know a few people like that, and I try in my own way to help them. But
yeah,
you can see the loss, the void of not really having in their personal life a love in their life, and it's really sad. And there are people, unfortunately, very much like that. And I've come across a few, and it's a challenge to try to convince them that love is there, and that don't stop looking for it, because you'll find it.
Yeah, me too. I do the same thing, Nick. Yeah, I'm very aware of, you know, how people are feeling and what their experience is. And, you know, Diana and I, we love each other very, very much, and we love Alex. And the celestials with whom we talk and we meet on a regular basis, we can feel their love, and we love them too. It's something we want to share, you know. We want to be the love of Christ. We want to be the love of God also, because it's just such a wonderful experience. We want everyone to experience that love.
What you're doing then is you are reflecting the Universal Father's love, God, whatever you want to term it, and you're reflecting that in your own life. And
yeah,
people pick that up. They see that. They feel it. In fact, I have to say that when I first met you and Diane in Amherst, Massachusetts, at a wonderful weekend that the fellowship had there, and listening to your music and listening to you sing, and then meeting you and Diane, it was obvious that I was with a couple that had amazing channels of love all over the place. I mean, you could see it, you could feel it. And I did right away. That's why I responded to you both, because it was just there, and it was beautiful, and I felt that immediately. And I'm sure a lot of people that you come in contact with, both of you, that they feel that from you almost instantly. And that is such a gift and a blessing.
And you too, Nick. We felt the love coming from you, and we also felt an openness that you had, you know, and that's really the love that you have given us, especially through that openness and that acceptance of us, has really supported us through the years, and it's been something that's given us strength, you know, because we've been through a couple tough times, and you know, you were there, and we really appreciate that, Nick.
Well, it was certainly my honor to meet you and to know you now. And I really do rejoice in that very much.
Thank you, Nick. Hey, we've got, thank you, Nick, for that. We're going to have Hercules, and we're going to have Alex talk a little bit about some of the supernatural things that Alex is interested in. Talk about love. We really love Alex. And Hercules, the love that you have shown Alex, we really appreciate by giving him an opportunity to really reach out and express himself. So I'm going to give the phone over to Alex. So we'll have a little segment with Hercules and Alex. Thank you, Hercules. Here's Alex.
I'm looking forward to it. Nick, can you readjust your microphone a little bit?
Oh, yes, I just did.
Thank you. Hi, Alex. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
I'm glad to hear that, and I hear you have some things to share about your paranormal explorations.
Yeah. Mainly, it's the Spear of Longinus.
Ah, okay.
If you've heard of that.
Yes, yes, I have.
Yeah. So, essentially, as it said, Hitler wanted the spear. And
mm-hmm.
he eventually got it and all that. But what's mostly unknown is that American troops went in and got it themselves in a vault in Germany.
And who's are you citing Ravenscroft? Is that the author that that you got this information from, or was it another author?
Actually, it's from a little-known book called Facts and Fallacies.
Okay.
Yeah.
So can you give people a little bit of background? Because I know what the Spear of Longinus is, but many people may not. That's a very obscure legend. Can you share a little bit about the background of the Spear of Longinus?
All right. Let's see. The background to it. I mean, if you want, I can just read from directly from the book.
Or you can just summarize.
I mean,
I'd rather hear it from you.
Yeah, I mean, in the words of a certain character I know about, summarization does it no justice.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you think that means?
I'll read a little bit of it. In 1909, in the Hofburg Museum in Vienna, a thin, pale, shabby young man stood before the treasures of the House of Habsburg. Jeweled crowns glittered in their cases, but what transfixed the observer was one small item, the remains of a spear, dull and black with age. The unprepossessing visitor was Adolf Hitler. The object he worshipped was the Spear of Longinus. The spear was reputed to be the one that pierced Christ's side as he hung upon the cross. Hitler discovered that there were at least three other holy spears in Europe at that time. One was in the Vatican, a second had been taken to Paris by the time of the Crusades. Another was to be found in the Church of Krakow, Poland. But the Spear of Longinus, named after the Roman centurion who wielded it, commanded most attention. The reason. Attached to its handle is a nail reputedly used in the crucifixion. The spear is said to have acted as a powerful talisman or charm for Constantine the Great, first Christian emperor of Rome, Charles Martel, who drove the Arabs out of 18th century France, the Emperor Charlemagne, and the Holy Roman Emperor Frederick Barbarossa. According to tradition, all who possessed the spear were victorious. It was the mystical qualities of the Spear of Longinus that so fascinated Hitler. I mean, that's all. If you want, I can read more.
That says it all. And you said that the Allies came in and that they got the spear. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, they got it. And it was actually under Eisenhower that they did all this.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, Eisenhower believed that this spear, the properties of this spear, is was quite relevant. Like, as in the real. So basically, Eisenhower believed in everything that Hitler had studied. Everything.
Go ahead.
Which resulted in something that I don't think is actually in recorded history, but apparently we know somehow. But this spear that they have, that Eisenhower had, was apparently supernatural.
And is the spear, what happened to the spear since then?
It's just been, I'm guessing it's just been kept around and all that. I think until somewhere 2 years ago where it was sent out into space. I'm not sure.
Well, that would solve some of the problems inherent with the spear, because the spear, from what I remember of my readings, is an instrument of destiny, and it brings death and destruction and conquest. So have you been collecting lore about other artifacts as well? That's a very obscure artifact. Are there any others that you've been looking into? Like, have you been looking into the Grail? Have you been looking into the stone of Lucifer's crown, any of those relics?
What about Charlemagne's talisman?
That is awesome. Can you tell me about Charlemagne's talisman?
Yeah, Hitler had dug up Charlemagne's talisman, dug up the body, and took the talisman. The talisman pretty much had the same powers of the Spear's Longinus, which they're both, air quotes, objects of power. It had a sliver of the cross in it as well. So Eisenhower also had this object as well. I'm not sure what's going on with either, I guess. I'm not too sure.
Well, you did a lot of research. How did you first become interested in these artifacts?
Well, that comes right down to something called control, which literally details the idea, what if there were supernatural objects out there that gave certain people power? But if you really want to go back to when I got interested, that would be the SCP Foundation, which do have
Yes, you told me about that, and then my wife told me about that, and then my son told me about that, and then another guest on another show told me about that. So I guess I need to look into it some more.
Yeah, you might want to, because, I mean, right now you can look into 6,000 case files.
Wow, that's a lot.
Detailing different stuff. Over 6,000, actually. 6,999, if you really want to be correct here. Ah.
It's amazing all the research you're doing. That is great.
I mean, I do a lot of research, and it seems like it just goes unappreciated or even unnoticed by most people.
I could see one day Alexander's book of ancient anomalies or something like that, where you outline all the different things that you found.
It would probably be a mystical encyclopedia of objects that have given people power throughout the ages, something along those lines.
That sounds better.
Yeah. I want to mention, too, that this spear, there were also two other spears out there. I mean, they say three others, but there are two others, actually. So these two other spears literally have the same powers as the other one. One was, of course, stolen from Paris and taken to Russia, which explains why Russia is in power at the moment. And another one was taken to Iraq. And Iran, too. So, those spears pretty much dictate who's the law, the kind of law of the land, if you know what I mean. The law of the world.
If you're interested in magic spears, there's also in Irish mythology, one of the four hallows is a spear that has supernatural properties. And also in the Norse legends, there's the spear of Odin, and then there's a spear that started the first war, the war against the Vanir. So there are spears. In Greek mythology, there's Athena's spear. There's a whole bunch of information on spears as relics of power.
Yeah. And it's a little weird, but I could believe that Eisenhower is a lot more than most people would have thought of him as.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I could have believed that he was sort of a para-utilitarian, It's not my own wording, but you get kind of the idea.
That Patton was also, General Patton was also a student of the mysterious.
I mean, what explains some of the Cold War stuff that went on, since they looked into psychic phenomena as an alternative way of doing things?
Nick knows a lot about things like that.
Yeah. I'm basing my own idea off of these sort of things, or rather the shrine writing. Like, at the moment, I'm just trying to think of how the heck do I mix government intrigue with gods mixed with theoretical physics mixed with SCP Foundation sort of aesthetic.
Well, at least you're keeping busy and you're learning a lot of interesting facts.
Yeah. Anyway, I got to give it over to Michael here.
Thank you for sharing all that with me. I greatly appreciate it, Alex. Take care.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Hercules. All right. So,
you're very welcome.
Yeah, thank you, sir. I appreciate that so much. And, you know, our theme tonight is love. And, you know, of course, we love Alex very much. And we honor you, Hercules, for giving him the opportunity to share some of the research. He is a voracious reader. He loves to read, you know, and he just loves to research. We all love to research. I mean, we have thousands and thousands of books in our house. If you come into our house, you can sometimes hardly walk in some of the rooms because we have so many books.
I know what that's like.
Do you know what that's like?
Oh, yeah. I have more books than I know to do with, too.
Yeah, I know you were donating books there for a while, right?
I am.
All right. Well, you know, we have we're talking this year about the light and life lifestyle, how to become a Christ in the 21st century, and of course, love is one of the cornerstones. In one of my meditations, an image came to me called the Pyramid of Perfection, and it's a square base pyramid, and each angle or each base of the pyramid has a concept that when mastered or when harmonized with the other concepts, it brings you to the top of the pyramid, which is God. And God, of course, is love. So the pyramid bases are based upon the Urantia book's concept of truth, beauty, and goodness. One of the sides or the angles is truth, beauty, goodness, and of course the fourth is love. And those four, when those are harmonized and they ascend up the sides of the pyramid, they eventually reunite and coalesce with God, who is love. And one aspect of our lifestyle is that you become a pure, holy, strong, healthy vehicle. You're physical, all right? And in developing the physical in pureness and in holiness and, of course, really good health, you are also contributing to the other bodies. In our theosophical studies, we know about the astral body, we know the mental bodies, we know the causal body. And what happens in that journey through the development of those bodies is the development of more of our expression and our embodiment of God's love. So a healthy lifestyle, we're saying, can actually contribute to the growth and strengthening of all of those bodies. And Diana's going to talk about the causal body, especially in how the growth and development of that can lead us to a life of more love, receiving God's love and expressing God's love to others. Here's Diane.
Thank you, Michael. That was very sweet. Yes, love, there's so many aspects to talk about. When I was a little girl, my parents were involved with Elizabeth Prophet and Mark Prophet in the Broadmoor, mostly the Broadmoor Hotel in Colorado Springs. And she would talk about love, but she would talk about the causal body with it, which was most interesting. So I just kind of wanted to fill everybody in on just a few things that she would say. Number one, she'd always say, everything you do out of pure love, pure truth, pure devotion, service for the sake of service, and not self-gain, adds to the size of the central white sphere, and that's your causal body. So this was really important, an important message for me, because love, your love can increase, the love that you give to others can increase your causal body. Now, here's a little description that she would give about it. She'd say, people have causal bodies of varying size and magnitude. These circles of color bands are spherical bodies. They're not flat. You know, when you look at a chart or something, you know, you just see a flat page. But she's saying they're not flat as they're painted on a chart with pigment. These are spheres of energy, pulsating energy, permanent energy, eternal energy. They're spiritual light energy radiating the color of their frequency and vibration. Now, here's her description. Your causal body is shaped like a globe. The white fire core is in the very center, enfolding the I Am presence in its central sun of purity's power and light. This is the first, or primordial, sphere. Now there's a yellow sphere which surrounds it, and that's the primal radiation of the mind of God, and it contains the record and momentum of all the intelligence. It's the second sphere. And then there's the pink, the one that we're really talking about today, and that's the core of love, and that's the third sphere. And then mercy and the violet transmuting flame, the fourth. And then the purple and gold band of justice and ritual of the law. And that is your fifth sphere. The green is the healing and supply in your life, the abundance of life, the sixth. And all of these are sealed in a magnificent blue flame sphere, the seventh, of protection, fiery faith, and God's goodwill. So she's saying that every time that you do a good deed on the earth, the angels of record build up the size of your electronic body. The good deed is, in effect, a cause you set in motion, which multiplies its vibration around the world, begetting more of its kind as it ripples out to bless many more than the one who was first the recipient of your graciousness. So I felt that was very important to tell people a little bit about what it looks like, the causal body, but also that everything you do in the name of love ripples out and increases your causal body, but it also helps to increase everyone on the earth. So that was my my little message tonight from Elizabeth, and thank you, Hercules, again for letting us share. Here's Michael, and we're going to be introducing a most wonderful, wonderful guest who has certainly been working on his Christhood, you can tell, and that is...
That is Gerald T. Farley.
Thank you, Michael.
Gerald. Yeah, you're welcome.
Hello, Hercules. Hello, Alex.
Hello.
And Diane. And Nick, I'm still looking forward to that toboggan ride, Nick.
I look forward to sharing that with you. And like I said, I'm on the 25th floor. It looks like the snow is going to be at least up to the 19th floor. If it comes up to my floor, I'm going to open the window with a toboggan, and I'm going to call you, and we're going to go for a ride that you're not going to ever believe.
wonderful. And don't forget the hot chocolate, please.
Absolutely. That's part of the plan.
So with that, what I wanted to share, something that's very near and dear to me, from the indigenous peoples of the world, really. But this is a morning prayer that they give to all the directions leading up to a final short paragraph that I shared with Diane, and that's the reason I'm reading this. She twisted my arm, both of them.
I did. I love it.
So we start out by facing the east, to the east, the new day, illumination, the light within and without, the golden eagle. To the winds of the east, Mother Eagle, fly high above us. Keep us under your wing. Teach us the way of vision and nurturing our young. To the east, I call for your power and spirit to come in. To the south, place of trust and innocence, little mouse, the good red road home. To the winds of the south, great serpent, help us to shed the past the way you shed your skin. Teach us to walk with beauty and touch everyone with goodness and truth and love. To the south, I call for your power and spirit to come in. To the west, the dark waters of looking within, home of beautiful shell woman, place of black bear, brown bear, the healing medicine path. To the winds of the west, great jaguar, walk among us, show us how to live fearlessly. Teach us the way of no enemies in this world or the next. To the west, I call for your power and spirit to come in. To the north, place of the ancient ones and those who have crossed over, place of wisdom, white buffalo and snow leopard. To the winds of the north, hummingbird, teach us the way of stewardship, that we may serve the time to come. To the north, I call for your power and spirit to come in. To Mother Earth, Great Mother, and all your children, the two-leggeds, four-leggeds, those that crawl and swim and fly, the stone people, the plant people, for the winged, furred, finned, and feathered, all my relations. Aho Metaquiasin, Sky Father, Grandmother Moon, to all the sacred mountains of the earth. Great Spirit, you who are known by a thousand names, yet who is to all the great mystery. Hear me, for this one is praying. Bless us on our journeys. Bring love and healing to our earth. So be it, and so it is. Thank you.
Oh, beautiful.
So be it,
and
so it
beautiful.
Is.
Thank you. Wow.
Yeah, thank you. That's beautiful, Gerald.
You're welcome.
Do you have a message for us?
Well, interestingly enough, is there anyone who's familiar with one of the Celestials who I have happened to love, White Eagle?
Yes. From many, many moons ago. When I was growing up, there were White Eagle books, I remember. I read them back in the day.
So I'll just touch on the theme for today from White Eagle. I couldn't think of anything more appropriate. We bring you love and joy and peace. We would raise your consciousness so that you become aware of the presence of the Shining Ones. We would help you to open your hearts to the presence of the Great Watchers and hear in your hearts the message they bring. Try to realize that you are not the little you that you think you are, but part of a more beautiful soul than you can imagine or conceive of. That soul is your higher self. Only a small part of you is manifesting through your embodiment, but there is something within you, your inner self, attached at all times to that greater Christ self, which is separate from, but is also part, but is also part of our Creator Source. This will be beyond your realization at present. In time, however, you will attain the unfolding truth and beauty of that higher Christ self, that higher life. Thank you, White Eagle.
Well, thank you, Gerald. Thank you very much
that.
So White Eagle, can you tell us a little bit about White Eagle?
You know, I suspect that Hercules could tell you a lot more.
Oh.
Okay.
No,
what do you think, Hercules?
I don't. I remember White Eagle. I used to have the White Eagle books, but we're going back to the 1970s. And I can visualize the books. I can see them. I can almost feel them in my hand. But I don't remember very much about the actual contents other than they agreed with the theosophy I was studying at the time and the spiritualism I was studying at the time. And that the White Eagle was, I believe, a discarnate. I believe that he was an entity that was being channeled. Again, memory is not as well as it used to be.
Well, that's pretty much what I would have said, except just to add to it and tag on to that, Hercules, my feeling about him, not just because he calls himself White Eagle, but I feel that he has an indigenous soul.
Yes.
That's what comes across to me. A love for all life forms, the great circle of life. And that pyramid you were talking about earlier, Michael, that you manifest in your stillness, I see the foundation of it moving deep into the core of our Mother Gaia and extending farther than the eye can see into the heavens. And it's all surrounded by the great circle of life, which is ever expanding outward throughout all of creation. Mm-hmm. And it's the foundation for pillars of light, if you choose to go there.
So the Christ light?
Yes, that's in there. I can summarize the lights very quickly.
Yes, please.
The bright blue flame, which you're familiar with from the affirmations,
mm-hmm.
which is of purity and protection, that comes from the great central sun of our super universe, and it's guided by the Lords of the Blue Flame, joins with the sapphire blue flame and ray of Creator Father, and the crystalline pink flame of Creative Mother, the golden white flame of Eternal Son, and that would include our Creator Son Christ Michael, Jesus the Christ, Yeshua ben Joseph, and Lord Sananda. And all of those flames are joined by the great violet flame of Mother, Father, Creator, Source, and along with the emerald green flame of healing of the mighty Elohim. And encompassing and engulfing and merging with all those flames is the cosmic flame of cosmic love, of cosmic fire, of cosmic authority that brings us everything of universal substance that comes into material beingness and beyond. And that's what we're looking at coming into now, beyond anything we can even imagine. And it's all unfolded in the great flame of infinity of Creator Source. Thank you for asking.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. Gerald, we're the sixth revelation here. This program is the sixth revelation. Diane and I, we are the sixth revelation in our aspect of our work with the Celestials. Everyone here is working with the Celestials at this time with so much love in your hearts and so much wonderful work that you're all doing. Our little piece of the puzzle, the sixth revelation, is in our connection with the Celestials, we're being given kind of just a little bit of a hazy view of what the future holds for humanity. We've talked about the Christ self. We've talked about our particular approach this year, sharing some suggestions for how to become a Christ, how to live a lifestyle that people can utilize to bring out the best in themselves physically, mentally, spiritually, so that they're prepared for this new time, this new and glorious time that's called light and life, a new golden age for humanity, where we're connecting with our Christ selves. You know, we're expanding our causal bodies. We're developing our mental bodies, developing the capacity to bring more divine truth into our lives and more divine love into our lives through Aphrodite and Gabriel with their new worldwide religion of love. How do you feel about the future, near future, possibly, especially near future, because we're kind of in a flux right now, in a tumultuous time. How do you see the future, Gerald, in the short term, and maybe even if it relates to the long term?
Well, you were right on when you said everything is hazy. And the reason it's so hazy is because we are the co-creators. And we are making it happen. And quite frankly, even the most advanced of us, and that includes everyone here, because of all the studies that we've done and all the work that we've done to get to our higher self within, and so that was, thank you for putting that forth so eloquently, Michael, because that's very, a very, very important part of it. And when we look at that future, I don't look at it much because I try and stay in each present now moment. And I trust that spirit self or my divine creator fragment within will let me know. She is very good about that, as well as he is. I never know which one's going to come at me, but they send messages. And one of the neat things about the future will depend a lot on what Saint Germain does and how he distributes this Nisara funding. So go with wherever your imagination wants to, because we will be crystallizing our thoughts, you know, as we go along, and we have an idea of what we would like to see. We're reaching the place where those will begin to reach fruition for us on a moment-by-moment basis.
Yeah, you know, I feel that the celestials, the space gods, as Hercules terms them, our celestial brethren, our hierarchy, are just right close to us right now. They're right there, helping us, and I feel really positive about this. You know, from what they're telling us, from what we're hearing, that people in general. Will be given the opportunity and are now to really connect on a personal level with the
right.
Father, with the Mother, with all of our celestials. And really, they have an opportunity, really a great opportunity, to bring out the best in themselves and to bring out the best in humanity. We see a really positive way forward toward what we're calling, the Sixth Revelation is calling this Age of Aquarius, this Age of Pisces, this new golden age. It looks good. I mean, it looks good. I think the celestials...
I couldn't agree more, Michael, and it's really the message that's coming in now, too, from the celestials, is work on ourselves, which we've been doing all along. So we're doing fine. But the trust the celestial and divine plan.
And I hate to interrupt, but we only have a couple of minutes left.
Yes, please do, Hercules.
Okay. No, we just have a few minutes left. I didn't want you to get cut off in mid-sentence, so we have like a minute and a half.
Yes. Let's get some contact information then. I wanted to say thank you so much, Gerald, for that. Thank you so much. And, you know, we'll all get together on that toboggan ride. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Come on over, guys. Come on over.
And, you know, get the hot chocolate. We're ready for that, definitely. Hey, let's get everyone's contact information, because everybody needs to know what these wonderful individuals are doing for our planet, for, you know, with working with our celestial brethren, mothers and fathers, brothers and sisters. Gerald, first tell us your contact information. How can people get a hold of you and learn about what you're offering?
Area code 503-385-8480. Gerald, G-E-R-A-L-D, T as in Thomas, Farley, F-A-R, F as in family, F-A-R-L-E-Y, @hotmail.com.
All right. Thank you, Gerald. And you, Nick, please tell us your contact information.
Yes, my email address for Nick Curto, C-U-R-T-O, my email address is NICKNYNY1, and that's the numeral one, not O-N-E, but the numeral one, @gmail.com. I welcome any comments or questions you might have.
Thank you so much. And we have a YouTube channel. It's Michael and Diane Duncan. We have an email. It's Michael Duncan. That's D-U-N-K-I-N, 1@hotmail.com. And Hercules?
Thank you very much. I can be found on Facebook currently under Hercules Invictus. That's the most reliable way to reach me.
All right. Well, thank you all. And we hope you'll all continue to spread that love, the father's love, the mother's love. And just know that we love you all so much.
Thanks
thank you,
to all. And thanks to everybody
love
who
you
listened
all.
In. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. Thanks again, everyone.
Thank you, everyone. God bless.
Good night. Much love.